We're going to be talking today about something I have no idea of because my screen just went blank. But hang on here. We're going to be talking today about God's will and prayer. And these are things that we deal with on a daily basis. We often ask people to pray for us about things that we are going through. Sometimes God answers those prayers in amazing ways. And sometimes we regret that He didn't answer them in amazing ways. Tish and I had a dear friend 2 weeks ago, the mother of 12 children, pass away. She went to the doctor who said she had a strained back. About a month later, she went to the doctor again and she said, "I'm having this pain." And he said, "I think you pulled a muscle." The next day she went to the hospital. She said, "That pulled muscle is making it hard to believe." And they said, "Well, that's because you have pneumonia." So they admitted her in the hospital with pneumonia, and she died 2 days later of cancer. Mother of 12 children. Her husband, a teacher, a retired Air Force person, a godly man, had just planted a church in an impoverished community in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And we wondered, as she lay in the hospital bed, "God, if ever your glory would be made known, is after the doctors have already said it's too late, if she would get up off that bed." God says, "My glory is made known in perfection through my will." And she passed away. We don't always understand God's will. We know that the depths of His understanding, the depths of His knowledge, and why He does the things He does so far surpasses our understanding. And yet we're left to wonder, as we pick up the pieces, why we don't know. If you'll turn with me to Matthew 6:10, it says, a verse you know well, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And remember a number of weeks ago, because of course I know that you memorize each and every sermon that I preach on Sunday morning, but about 12 weeks ago I preached on this very verse, a little bit different trajectory, as it were. But we talked about bringing the kingdom of God and bringing the kingdom of God here. And the way we bring the kingdom of God here is by doing what the Father has asked of us to do, by allowing Him to guide us and direct us and lead us. It's not that heaven is our future home. It's that one day we will be completely there. But we're supposed to be living our lives as residents of the kingdom. That means in our decisions and our ideas, in our actions, our words, and our thoughts, they're supposed to originate from the kingdom. And you say, "Well, Pastor, that's awfully hard, and we don't want to be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good." We've heard that, and that is certainly the truth. But you can be who you are and have your personality. You can live your life and be functional at work, and probably much better so, if you're heavenly minded in your actions and your words and your deeds. No one in Washington has ever impaneled a group of senators to look into why someone is so righteous. Although certainly if there was a righteous man in Washington, he certainly would be put to death. Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There are breakdowns of this, and we're going to cover two, and we're going to cover them briefly. There are basically two wills of God. There is the sovereign, the decretive, the declarative will of God, and there is the preceptive, or the teaching, the didactic, as it were, will of God. So the sovereign decretive will of God, the will by which God brings to pass whatsoever he decrees. This is usually hidden until it happens. We have no idea what is coming. We know that one day Jesus will return. And there are people that have written books and preached sermons and screamed and hollered and held up signs saying exactly how the end of the world will come. And God says, I have reserved that for myself. That is God's decretive will, his sovereign will, as it were. How many days will you live? The Bible says the number of your days has already been determined. God says the number of your days is reserved for me and my knowledge. We don't always like the sovereign will of God. In fact, none of us like the sovereign will of God. Our sin nature has put within us the idea that we like to be in control. And a number of weeks ago, I asked you if you would raise your hands if you liked to be in control. And a good number of you raised your hands. And then I said, would you please raise your hands if the person sitting next to you likes to be in control? It's funny because in reality, some of us are more timid about exerting it, but we all like to be in control. Some are more passive-aggressive. Some are more forthright and aggressive. But we all like to be in control. And trust me, a person who is silent often yields the greatest control. Right? Are you guys trying to have control over me? Is that the deal? Someone taught me a great word. When you don't have control, what happens? You get fidgety. You get a little nervous. You get bothered. You start expressing what you want. Well, I don't want this, I want this. And we kind of start pushing for it. If we don't really get what we want and we've tried different ways, then we're kind of prone to complaining and arguing and being generally not pleasant to be around and those things. And of course, this is part of our human nature. I'm going to get someone in a lot of trouble today. Someone, by the way, who rarely ever speaks. So they deserve to be in trouble. We were talking about God's will and talking about maturity of the Christian believer. And a gentleman, I'm not going to name any names and I'm not going to point him out, but he taught me this word, gambadi. And I said, what does that mean? I was taken aback. He doesn't speak a lot. And he says, gambadi. I said, well, what does it mean? And he said, He said, in the vernacular, as it were, I'm kind of using my words here, he said, it really means to suck it up. It's a Japanese word, and I went and I did the morphological studies on that Japanese word. And the picture that it draws is exactly what he says. It's a picture as if you're walking through a mud pit, and you're slodging through, and you're having to pull your feet out, and you've got to get to the other side. But what happens if you stop in the middle? You're going to eventually starve to death, or something's going to come and eat you or something. And so you suck it up, you stop complaining, and you do what you need to do to get to where you want to be. Gumbadi, to suck it up. I said, you know, that is awesome. I said, in fact, it's awesome enough, I want to find the how it's written in Japanese so I can have it tattooed. His wife said, you don't need any more of those. It is this idea with the sovereignty of God. It fits perfect here. Because with the sovereignty of God, sometimes we feel like we are slodging through this great mud pit. And we are having the hardest time getting to the other side. And will it ever end? Maybe it's sickness or disease or job or whatever, kids. It could be any number of things. Will we ever get to the other side of this mud pit? Certainly, we've heard the phrase, and it's a good one, that works here. If God has brought you to it, God will bring you through it. But God cannot bring you through it if you stop in the middle and say, I've gone as far as I'm willing to go, and now I want my voice to be heard. God, quite frankly, I think you're doing a poor job. How many of us would say, I really want to tell God that he's doing a poor job? I know very few people that would venture to raise their hands and question the sovereignty of God, but we do it every day. In our voice and in our actions, in our complaining and our griping, God says, after all, I am the Lord your God. Part of bringing heaven to us is standing in the throne room of God and understanding that he is sovereign over every part of our life. Then there is his preceptive will. A precept is a teaching, a didactic idea or a presentation. The way we learn is God's revealed law or commandments, which we have the power, but not the right, to break. There are certain things that are required of Christians, and we know what they are because they are, after all, in here. When we do something wrong, generally speaking, we know we've done something wrong. King David said, thy words have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You say, well, Pastor, I haven't hidden those words in my heart. By the way, on Sunday morning, bring your Bible. You're going to need them. I want you to get used to this book. I want you to understand how it works and why it has little numbers and brackets and capital letters and small letters. And it's okay if it's a study Bible, but understand that everything above the line comes from the throne room of God, and everything below the line comes from the living room of man. never quotes to me from down here, only from up here. Don't hide this in your heart. Hide this in your closet. Hide this in your heart. Know what the Word of God says. In fact, I have a Bible that says, underneath one of the verses, it's not this Bible, but it's a Bible that I first had when I started preaching. And it said, there are no active gifts of the Holy Spirit in practice today. That's what it said below the line, right before I scratched it out. If it's above the line, I'm not scratching that out. But oftentimes, what's above the line offends us more than what's below the line. Because sometimes we don't like being told the direction in which we walk is the wrong direction. Prayer is a big part of knowing the will of God. You know, when you're walking and you've walked off the sidewalk, there's usually a gutter. And if you step off the sidewalk and you step into the gutter, you generally know you've done that because what's in the gutter? Water or mud or garbage, but there's a drop-off. And it's a great analogy for our walk with the Lord because while we're on the sidewalk, walking by His side, we are safe and secure and on firm ground. But as soon as we step off the sidewalk, we find ourselves in the gutter. I don't know about you, I don't like walking in gutters. The quickest way to get out of the gutter and back onto the sidewalk is not by taking a step, but by kneeling down, by praying. That is where we ask for forgiveness. See, we can't say, I'm a Christian, so I get to walk on the sidewalk, regardless of how I act. If you act unbecomingly, you end up in the gutter, whether you want to be there or not. Because you cannot walk with God and walk with Satan at the same time. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of His willingness, by Martin Luther. What a great idea. Sometimes we pray because we want our will to be God's will. Instead of praying that God would give us His will, we want to give God our. But we need to trust in the Lord. We need to trust that His ways are better than ours, that His knowledge is deeper than ours, that His love for us is greater than our love for ourselves could ever be. Because He knows the price that He paid to purchase it. Imagine if you would, you go and you buy a precious pot. In fact, I have in my house a pot, a beautiful pot. It was made by a woman who's a famous Navajo potter. She's deceased now. Her name was Maria Martinez. And it's not a very big pot, but it is of great value because a person can only make so many pots in their lifetime. And I have one of Maria's pots. And Maria is famous for her pots, and I have one. It's very tiny, but it's worth a lot. But only I know it's worth a lot, because it looks like a little black pot. And guess what? I have lots of little black pots, and it doesn't look a whole lot different than the other black pots. The cost of that pot is determined not by the shine of the pot, or its color, or its size, but by the signature on the bottom. Your value is considered the same way. It's not what you can do, how beautiful your voice is, how much money you have in the bank, the part of town that you live in, the car that you drive, your profession. Your value is determined by the signature by the one who made you. Do you belong to the Lord? Or have you determined to be your own pot? Seeing God's will and doing God's will are a great part of being a Christian, but they're entirely two different things. There's seeing God's will. God, I would like to know your will in my life. And God says, I want you to move to Zimbabwe and be happy about it. God, do you have a plan B? How many of you just sang the song, I Surrender All? How many of you said, there's no way I'm singing that song because there's no way I'm surrendering all? Okay, a couple hands. Thank you for your honesty. Right? I surrender all. All to Jesus. Well, now, do we really, really, really mean that? Are you really going to let him have the whole bag of M&Ms? Or are you going to pinch the bottom three as you empty the rest of the package into his hand? You know, I really want to surrender all, but almost all to Jesus I surrender. Almost all to thee I freely give. No, I guess that doesn't have the same ring. But in reality, that's probably a little more true. You know, we're going to sing that song as we leave here today, and it's going to be interesting. I'm really sorry, Ashley. I might have really messed this up for you. But it'll be really interesting to see how it sounds, because do we want to surrender all, or do we hold back the things that are important? Are we willing to give our all? And then it's interesting that we give a little bit, or maybe we give 99%, and then we say, but God, I don't understand why I'm not understanding. God says, well, maybe, just maybe, if you gave it your all, if you really surrender it all, maybe you would understand it all. Colossians 4:2 says this, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. It's important we pray. In fact, I have said from this pulpit, you have heard me say over and over and over again, there is nothing greater that you can do for someone. There is no greater word that you could speak to them, except that you walk into the throne room of God and you mention them by name. I'm going to take just a moment. Is it okay if I go a few minutes over? Okay. Anyone want to say no? No? Okay. I'm going to push forward a little bit. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins. By the way, that's a good place to start. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is a good time to insert, please forgive my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. By the way, James 5:16 starts, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you can be healed. Confess your sins, and once you've confessed your sins, the prayer of a righteous person, a person who has confessed their sins, avails much. It's an effective prayer once you've confessed your sins. And Proverbs 15:8 expounds on that. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is acceptable to him. When you come to the Lord, when you walk into the throne room of God, your hands must be clean, washed in the blood. People say, you know, I don't know why God isn't doing what I need him to do. I don't know why he's not hearing me. And generally speaking, I'll ask this question, have you repented? Are you in right standing with the Father? Because that's absolutely necessary when we pray. Almost done here. 1 Peter 3:12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Time and time again, I have people say, "Pastor, I just don't hear God." It may not be because you have wax in your ears. It may be because you have sin in your heart. And I'm going to finish with this, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's a three-word verse. Who knows it? Everyone will know it when I put it up. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Understand that prayer is absolutely necessary. It is what waters us. If this is our earth, if this is the ground that we are planted in, prayer is the water that drenches our soul, that allows the Holy Spirit to work in our life, to know and understand the will of God. It's not easy. Sometimes we're in a time in our life where the greatest thing we can do is gumbody. We can just keep slodging through. But even when we're gumbody, even when we're in that mud and we're slodging through it, it doesn't mean we're not in God's will. It just means that, wow, we're going through a difficult time. God, if you can't lift my feet or won't lift my feet, still I will lift my eyes to you. If I'm stuck in the mud, let me use that time to pray to you. If I'm on the ground, let me kneel in prayer. But let me give my all to you. Let me surrender all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have provided for us a way to know and understand, and if not, to trust your will. Father, we pray that we would be committed a little bit more each and every day to growing in you, to reading your word, to understanding you. Truly, you are an awesome God. Truly, Father, we thank you that you have called us to belong to you, that you have put your signature on the bottom of this pot. In Jesus' name we pray.